Okay, here's a fast blast question for those of you who are technologically inclined. Our friend Tommy here has set aside his pennies, and now he wants to buy a television, a new flat screen, and he needs some help. And so I said, well, I'm just going to ask everybody who listens to the program, Tom. We'll see what happens. He doesn't know whether to buy an LCD or a plasma, doesn't even know the difference between the two. But those of you who understand this, if you want to send us a fast blast, he'll read them, and then he can make his decision. LCD or plasma, flat screen TV. Now, on Tommy's budget, it'll probably be a 3-inch television, but that he's going to put up on the wall, by the way. I'll be back with more. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go back to your calls. Final hour, and it will go by fast. West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, good, yeah. So we were talking about listening to you talk about the feeling of someone behind you.
Yeah.
So when I was a young man, like a teenager, my mom would come after work and late at night, she'd get off real late, and three times a week we would go out, and that's how we'd talk about our day. And when the time while I was waiting for her to come, I would ride my bike, you know, just to burn the time off or exercise, you know, use it wisely. And I was like tired out, so I stopped and was just sitting there like in the middle of the road. It was like 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. and I had this strange feeling. It's like you said, of someone looking at you, and I turned around, looked towards my house, and there was someone standing on the sidewalk in front of my house. So I looked at them, they looked at me, and this is, you know, way, and they just bolted into my yard. And at the time, I thought I was tough. I actually was, and I just took off after them. And I threw the bike down. I got to my yard and ran up there into my backyard where they ran. About halfway through my backyard, all the hair on my neck stood up, and I backed away like in instinct fear.
What was it that scared you so much?
I don't know. There was nothing there.
You just felt something.
Yeah, there was no way to get out of the backyard. We had two German shepherds back there. They were the meanest you could ever imagine.
What were they doing?
They weren't there. They were gone.
Where'd they go?
Hiding on the other side of the house.
You're kidding.
No.
Cowering. Nothing.
Something else that we saw, if we have just a second, those same years, about 1 o'clock in the morning, over Vegas, there was like, I guess it was a UFO, but it was a glowing triangle. It was like probably 200 yards across. I mean, it was enormous. You know when the moon's the fullest?
It's probably the glow of that pyramid or something.
Well, yeah, it was a pyramid shaped like UFO.
You know, I would, of all places, over Vegas, I would think it had something to do with the Strip, some laser show or something like that. Let's go to the backseat line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
This is Jeff from Hershey, Pennsylvania area. I just wanted to pass on a little story, experience I had. This was back in the early 80s. I grew up actually in Vegas. And I used to drive truck, and I had a dedicated route. And this has to do with the feeling of somebody behind you. The truck had a sleeper on it, and it just so happens that after I had what I believe was a sighting between Baker, California, which is the gateway to Death Valley there,
and
the Nevada state line, me and another driver had what I believe was some sort of sighting. And it wasn't long after that, several times I had this feeling that somebody was in my sleeper. This is well back, and sleepers were smaller than these big condos they have these days.
But sleepers, though, it's right behind you, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. The sleeper on the back of the cab where you would take your brakes at. And add a twist to the story was, I never really told anybody about the sighting because I didn't want to, you know, anybody thinking I was, you know, half out of my mind. Years later, my brother dated a young lady who also drove, and in this exact area in between these two mountains, she told him that several times she had a sighting of these. All I could describe them as is just a orb of energy, but I seen him racing up at a 45-degree angle, going thousands of feet and coming then back down at another 45 angle. But she saw them several hundred yards off the side of the road.
And these weren't plasma balls, were they?
No, it was a steady. It was a steady. No, it, these, I'd never seen anything like it. They rose several thousand feet within just several seconds, and then came back down towards the mountains, mountain pass there, towards the Nevada State, California state line. And basically, I couldn't see where they came from or where they went to, but once they got down to the mountain line, they just kind of faded off. Now, the ones that she said that she seen were out and hovering just several hundred yards off the road, but that was the only place that I would get this feeling of somebody riding with me. And the freight that I was hauling, I couldn't have any passengers with me. And it didn't start till after I seen this sighting. And I got out of the business out there, actually.
That was it. Well, hey, thanks. You know, Linda Moulton Howe on Friday is going to give us a report on a crop formation in England that started with witnesses seeing lights, and it's an incredible story, and the whole thing was made within 90 minutes. There's no way you could sneak a couple people into a field and do that at all. Thanks for the call. Let's move next. Let's go to our first time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Yes, good morning, George.
Hi.
This is Melanie, and I am actually a trucker woman traveling across I-80. And let me warn you, I think my battery is getting ready to die.
Okay, trucker
so
woman.
Cut off. I will just call you back some other time.
Okay, deal.
This is regarding premonitions. And first, before I get into that, let me say, from very early on in my life, I have known that extraterrestrials were just, it never occurred to me that they weren't. So much so that when I got older and I heard people doubting it, I actually hurt on the inside. But that's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
In my family, we have a history of having different gifts, from premonitions to my grandmother never getting the gender of a baby wrong, having dreams, and so on. All my life, I've had different premonitions. And I was from a very strong conservative Southern Baptist family, was actually taught not to pay attention to them, were taught that they were the work of, you know, the devil, and that we were not supposed to pay attention. Asked my grandmother about it one time, and she said, I'm going to tell you the same thing my grandfather told me, and that's don't let them make a fool of you. And so you just put it on the back table, and you don't pay attention. And yet they happen more and more. And in the fall of 2002, I had 2 weeks to the day such a strong premonition that one of my children, Ryan, was going to die, that I was actually driving. I was in financial planning at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to pull over onto the side of the road because I was crying.
Oh, my gosh. It would scare the heck out of me.
Yes, absolutely. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, you're being hormonal. Life is great. It was a record-breaking year.
Yeah, he's okay. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. It was an amber. When I think about that time of my life and our family's life, it was an amber Norman Rockwell time. Both of my girls had graduated from high school, were doing well in college. I had a son, a senior. My son, Ryan, who passed away, was a junior. It was just great. And 2 weeks to the day, he was gone. And what happened was 2 days before he died, my son, Ethan, was signing up do delayed enlistment in the Marines. And, of course, he was not yet 18, so I had to sign permission.
Yeah.
I read the I am going to have to call you back, but I read the, there's a waiver in there that says you understand that you, your son or your child could be going into a situation that could cause the loss of life or limb,
mm-hmm.
which is funny, they put life first and then limb. And I'm an Air Force veteran. I was also delayed enlist, and I read that, and I flashed back to when my father was signing my papers, and I started wondering, did he go through what I was going through at that moment? Had he thought, have I released my child? Have I really, yes, they came through my womb, but have I released them, and do I trust the God that is to my children? And I woke up out of that little moment,
yeah.
And I signed the paper, and was just praying, God, because we were already at war with Iraq, and was just praying, God, you know better for his life. You have a plan for his life. And less than 40 hours later, the son that I wasn't even concerned about was gone.
What happened to him?
He had an asthma attack, and it happened in our home. My youngest son, who's now a freshman, just finished his freshman year in college, we performed CPR on him for over 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
We lived in a rural area at the time, and it just took a while for the paramedics to get there. And yet, George, when he died, he was gone. There's that moment that some of us can be brought back if the soul has not left the body, I believe. And yet Ryan was gone from the moment, and he knew, actually. He had been at Walmart that night with some friends. A small town, what do the kids do? They go to Walmart. And he had started talking to his friends about when he died and that he was not concerned. And he was just a good young man. Well, shortly after that, and I've always had a very active dream life, and yet when he died, my dreams stopped. My head would hit the pillow. It was like the lights would turn off, and then at 6:30 in the morning, the lights would turn back on, and I was awake again.
They will start again for you, and your phone just went at a very perfect time for you. That's got to be tough. I've got a little. I've got three grandchildren. Number four is on the way, and one of them is asthmatic. And I got to tell you, every time I get that call from my daughter that she had one of her spells, I mean, it is absolutely horrible for a parent or even a grandparent to have to go through. And she is 7 years old now. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good morning. Good.
That's great to hear. I'm sorry to hear that that Mr. Bell's on his way, but I wish him the best.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do a bunch of shows for us still, too, so he'll still hang around.
And I'm glad.
Good.
What I called about is I've known I was psychic since I was about 9 years old. I've done a lot of premonitions in my life for family and for friends.
At 9 years old, you knew this? How did you know that then?
My grandfather and my grandmother were driving down the road. It was a freeway. My grandma was in the back. My grandfather was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And I was wide awake, talking to him, laid my head back, and I seen the windshield where I was sitting shatter in my face, and I felt the glass hit my face. And I covered my face up, and I screamed. And my grandmother says, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "You know, the windshield shattered." And she says, "No, it didn't. Look at it." And I looked at it, and it was fine.
Yeah.
We got home, went to bed that night, woke up in the morning, and there was a brick through that side of the windshield.
You got the power.
Right. But the problem is, when I hit 25, they stopped.
Cold.
And I did it at will whenever I wanted to. And at 25, they stopped. And I'm wondering, do you know who I can talk to, who I can get in touch with to help me get that back?
Well, first of all, what happened in your life at 25?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I was doing my thing. I was working. I had just gone through a divorce, but nothing really huge, you know, but they just quit on me.
That's weird that it would just, you know, I would think if you're going to lose it, it would have been, you know, while you were a little kid and you would have grown out of it, but not 25. It's just like somebody flipped the switch and it was gone.
Yeah, I did one last reading for a friend of mine who I, you know, thought to be like my sister. And she, her mother had died, and she had been sick when she was a little younger, and I was speaking with her mother from the other side, and I was telling her what her mother was saying, and she was like, "Well, I don't believe you. Give me some sort of proof." And so her mother told me what had happened in the hospital room between them two, and I passed it on to her, and she's crying, you know, and I can't believe, you know all this. How do you know all this? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They're still in doubt, even when you tell them, aren't they?
Yeah. But I lost it after that.
And you want it back, don't you?
And I want it back because there's things going on in my life now. I mean, I'm a happy man. I'm happily married. I waited until I was 35 to have a child. You know, I'm in the happiest part of my whole life, and that's the one part of my life that I felt whole with back then that it has a huge hole in me now.
Did you stop believing?
No, I've never stopped believing, ever. And I'm lost. I'm lost without it, and I don't know what to do.
Man, I don't have any names right off the top of my head, but I'm sure we've had guests who could probably help you.
That's
you might want to do a search. Just do a search on our website. There's a section there where you can type in some keywords and phrases,
yeah.
Psychic ability, and see who comes up, and then get a hold of them. They're very accessible once you find them.
Oh yeah, I know. I've listened to you guys for years. I know you have a great crew. You have great people who come on the show, and I'm always glad to hear. And like I said, I've never stopped believing, but now I'm so frustrated because it's missing from my life, and I need it back.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I'd want it back too.
Yeah, it's part of me.
Well, keep working on it.
Lost without it. Thank
okay.
you, George.
All right, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
It has turned your radio down, and it's all you.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, okay, I'm from New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I sort of have two stories, if you have time.
We'll probably only have time for one right now.
Okay.
Coming into the last half here.
I'll just start. Okay, well, me and my friend were swimming in the Jersey Shore, and, like, first of all, I felt something wrapped around my leg, and I thought it was something like, seaweed or something like that.
Yeah, you hope at least, huh?
And then all of a sudden I felt a pull on me, and I was like, uh-oh, what's this? And I looked down, and nothing's there. And then so I decided maybe I should get out of the water or something like that. And well, I looked down, and nothing's there. And then all of a sudden I feel something pulling me down. And my friend's looking at me like thinking something's wrong with me. And I'm like, I can't see anything, but something's pulling me down. I physically felt it on my foot, and it was the scariest thing ever.
And your friend, what was he doing? He wasn't yanking you out?
No, well...
Thanks, friend.
He did eventually help me out of the water, but...
After you were going down for the count, he helped you, huh?
Yeah, right. But...
That's a weird... What do you think it was? Some creature.
Know.
A hand. Somebody scuba diving.
Yeah, so...
Well, I don't know. I don't know what was under there. I tell the story of the day I hit a hole. I must have been about 9 or 10 years old, and I was walking in this lake in Michigan, and my uncle was next to me, and I must have hit a hole that was about 3 feet deep. I mean, that's scary when you're walking underground on the water, and you hit a hole. I mean, I went right down. And how I got popped back up again, I do not know. And my uncle didn't even know I was gone. He just kept walking. And down I went. Email me if you want. I'll look at him this weekend. George@coasttocoastam.com. And then when we come right back, we'll have another half hour of open lines for you. Don't forget Ian Punnett this Sunday. And our guest host, Ian Punnett Saturday, our guest host on Sunday will be Raleigh James. Raleigh has done some Coast to Coast programs years ago, and she's back with us on Sunday for this week. And then we're going to just bring some more people in the next month or so, and then try to hone in on somebody for you. And I'll always be doing the first Sunday of every month. Back in a moment, more open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. I have we installed in the studio a pyramid. It floats from the ceiling, and it is pretty neat looking. I got it from Dr. Fred Bell, and we stand under it every once in a while to get a little energy. You might want to try that once in a while. To the phones we go. Let us pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you?
I'm actually in Palmdale, California. In
sure.
fact, I have a little karma cleaning to do.
Okay.
This is the second time I got through tonight.
Great.
Exciting.
So you're only allowed on once.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Oh, are you going to hang up on me?
I'm going to have to.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
I'll call you another night, but that's
okay, yeah.
Back.
You get once every 30 days. Tommy, you're slipping. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir.
My name is Paul. I'm calling you from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Back in 1992, I was in some financial problems, didn't have a job.
Okay. That happens.
And had to have a vehicle, of course, to get back and forth to work.
Sure.
Went to what we called a buy here, pay here lot. I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with that.
You mean for cars?
Yeah.
Buy here, pay here.
Yeah.
They do their own financing.
Right. They charge you outrageous amounts.
And they hope you don't make a payment, and they come and get the car back again.
Right, and you don't get any of your money back.
You've got it. That's how they exist, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I bought this pickup truck. Driving it to work, I was working midnight shifts. Out of the corner of my eye, I see an old man sitting in a seat beside me. When I look over, he's not there. And this happens two or three times. Now, at these lots, you have to go in every week and make a payment. So I went.
Oh, so you don't mail a check in?
No.
Okay.
They want you in there. So I went and make my payment, and I asked the guy about the truck. I said, there's something weird about this truck. And he said, well, you're not the first person I sold it to. I sold it to two other people, and I've had to repossess it from both of them. They wouldn't drive it. I said, where did you get it? And he said, a widow woman sold it to me. Well, I assumed then that it had been this old man's truck. I don't know. I drove the truck for 4 years, saw the old man regularly, just out of the corner of my eye, never got a real good look at him.
And never had a conversation with him, huh?
Tried to, but he just wasn't there when I tried to do something. Well, after 4 years, I got in a little bit better financial shape, and I decided it was time to get a different, newer vehicle. I can't afford a new one. So I sold it to a guy I worked with and told him about this, and he just laughed and said, oh, there's no such thing. 3 weeks to the day after he bought the truck, he was driving to work, ran into a bridge abutment, and was killed.
Oh. Oh. In your old truck.
My old truck. The only thing I can imagine is the old man showed up beside him.
Scared the heck out of him.
And wrecked the truck. So it's not really a backseat story, but there's a haunted vehicle story.
Man.
And it happened to me.
Unbelievable.
Well, sorry you don't believe it, but it did happen.
But it is believable. All right, thanks. Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello, sir.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing great.
George, I'm a minister. I've been a minister for 21 years, and I stumbled upon your station this evening, and I never told anyone this story, but I'm going to share some with you.
Okay, sir. And where are you calling from, Reverend?
I'm actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now.
Okay, sure thing.
I travel quite a bit because I do a lot of missionary work, and I was up in Colorado, staying in a motel. I arrived very late, stayed in the motel. And that night, I'm one of those type of people, I crawl under the covers, I go to sleep, and the covers are not even messed up. I crawl out, and they're still the same.
You're out like a light.
I'm out like a light. Well, I felt this struggle and a fight. Someone was trying to choke me. And it was a real live feeling, like someone was literally on top of me. Well, in the morning, I woke up, and the bedspread was off the bed, the sheets were torn off, and the room was a mess. And when I checked out, because I've been in the ministry for 21 years, I walked down, and I looked in the eyes of the clerk, and I said, hey, they said, how was everything? I said, well, it was a little frightening. And in that moment, I saw a look in the eye of the clerk. And I said, do you know anything about that room? He said, why do you ask? I said, I had a very frightening experience. He said, well, what happened? I said, well, I felt like somebody was choking me. I said, do you know anything about it? He said, a man choked his wife to death in that room. And this is the first time I have ever shared this story with anyone. And it was so frightening. It's on my charge card. I know the motel hotel, but I've actually been afraid to go back to my charge card to actually revisit that motel or hotel.
And you, I'm sure, have always been a believer in the afterlife, right?
Oh, absolutely. And to actually check into a motel in Colorado and to experience this. Now, if I'd have walked out of there, if the clerk would not have told me what the clerk told me,
and you could have,
never believed.
No, you would have thought, these were panic attacks, dreams, who knows what.
I'm traveling too much. Yeah. I'm traveling too much. I need to get more rest.
Yep.
But this was so real to this day, I still am afraid to look back into my charge card records to go back there.
I don't blame you. And I assume you'll never go back to that hotel.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Really?
I've No, of course not.
Would you take the same room?
Would I go back? Of course I would.
Why?
Well, have you ever read the newspaper about anyone that was choked to death by a ghost?
There could be a first.
Well, you know, why not take that chance? Because I haven't heard it yet. But at least I'd go back with fortified faith, baby.
Okay, Reverend. Okay. East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, fortified faith. That sounds great. Hi, George. My name is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I have a dog story for you.
Sure.
Several years ago, I owned a wonderful Labrador dog by the name of Daisy.
I love labs. Got one myself.
Do you? They're great. I live in northeastern South Dakota. A few miles south of here, there's an old abandoned fur trading post. It was abandoned in the early 1800s.
Okay.
All that's left there right now is a monument. You have to crawl across the barbed wire fence to get to it, and it's actually on some private property, so you have to just walk in there. And my Labrador, to get back to her, she barked, but she never growled. Never, ever growled.
Okay.
And she would go with me everywhere I went. And one day, she jumped in the back of my pickup, and we went down to visit this fur trading post. And as we were walking in there, she just absolutely slunk to the ground. Her hair raised up on her back, and she was just, there was just a growl coming out of her.
What was it she felt?
I have no idea. It was the strangest thing I'd ever experienced.
Pure evil. Well, here's what you can look forward to for the rest of next week. My Monday guest will be Konstantinos. He's an author. He's a researcher into vampires. So get ready for that one. That explains it all. Tuesday, floating format night. We're keeping that open just to see what might transpire. I got to tell you, I'm very fascinated with this program of this executive order that the president apparently signed that would give them the right to seize assets if you're protesting too much about the Iraqi war. Not that they would do that, but may give them the right. So we may talk with Alex Jones about that. And, man, that is unbelievable. Wednesday, that's the night. It's the Ouija board night. The night that I, asked my staff if they'd work it or not. I gave them the option, and they've all selected to hang in there. And I'm thinking of two things, and I just will very briefly tell you this. The fire the grid that obviously showed up on the global consciousness Princeton eggs, they had that spike. I expected that, but I didn't, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking of that, and I'm also thinking about, honestly, I'm not concerned about me at all. But I am concerned about you. I'm concerned about somebody who might be playing around with this thing. And that person may not be, I don't know, as surrounded by light as I think I'm going to be. So I'm teetering. The show will go on. I'll tell you that. How it will go on, I don't know yet at this point. But we've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley will join me. Edward Cornelius, who has written a book about the Ouija board, and Aleister Crowley. Stoker Hunt will join us. Jordan Maxwell will be with us, and Dr. Bruce Goldberg will be with us. Oh, he won't make it? He's not going to make it. He is going to make it. Okay, that's what I thought. Thursday, Sean David Morton joins us. More of his remote intuitive predictions. On Friday already, Linda Moulton Howe for an hour or so as we talk about this incredible story of what is happening in England with these crop formations that are forming, and witnesses are seeing lights, and then they're there. And then, of course, we'll have special open lines for the rest of the night. So let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Just hanging out here in Hawaii doing a little work.
Okay, great. What's happening?
Got a backseat of the car story for you with a little bit different twist.
Sure.
Back in school, I used to date this girl named Angie. She was just, you know, sweetest girl you could ever meet, but kind of had, like, kind of dumb, bad luck all the time. We both worked in bars at night to kind of put ourselves through school. And, you know, late at night, the girls would be leaving. They were always kind of worried to go to their car, you know, dark place to park and all that.
Sure.
Well, she runs out to her car one night, jumps in the car, starts it up, and starts to, you know, drive away. And all of a sudden, from the backseat of the car, she hears this hushed voice going, "Angie." Well, she screams, slams on her brakes, thinks somebody's about ready to attack her, wheels around, and as she had started the car, it just so happened the Rolling Stones song "Angie" was on the radio, and that was the exact point of the song when the radio came on. So, there's a backseat of the car story with a happy ending.
A nice little twist. Let's go to our first time caller line. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's David. I'm from Tulsa.
Hey, David.
And I could talk to you about many subjects that you guys bring up, but I wanted to make this call about my most entertaining UFO sighting.
Okay, David.
I was in college. I had already seen a couple of objects in the sky. And it was my junior year, and as many people know, at some point in college, you experiment with alcohol. And I had one of those nights where I drank too much.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking home, and I'm right across the street from my house where there was this mom-and-pop store. And I'm drunk. I know I'm drunk. It's 3 in the morning. And I stop, and I look straight up because there were a lot of trees in the neighborhood, and this is the one place you could watch the sky. When I looked up, I saw a purple star. It was the size of a large star, but it was bright purple. I'd never seen that before, and I've been a sky watcher since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
As I watched it, it started moving and defying the laws of physics. It was making right angle turns. It was making opaque angle turns. Now, as I'm standing there at 3 a.m. in this parking lot.
Wobbly.
Wobbly, exactly. A police cruiser pulls up with its lights off. And I don't notice it until it gets right beside me because, once again. So I look down at the police officer and he goes, "Are you all right, son?" And I said, "Well, I've had too much to drink, but I'm looking at something in the sky that I don't understand." At that point, the driver got out, shut the door, looked up, and said, "Dan, you need to look at this." His partner got out of the other side of the car. Remember, they had no lights on when they pulled up.
Right, right.
And they both stood there and looked at it. And I said, "Are you seeing that?" And they said, "Yeah, I am seeing that." At that point, I came to my senses and realized I'm really inebriated in public. So I just told them, "I'm going home." And they stood there and watched that little purple star defy the laws of physics. So a UFO maybe it saved me a night in the book.
It might have been. And I'm glad you were only walking, David.
Oh, yeah. But it was my first night with an experiment with tequila. And I stood there and said, "Well, this must be that I'm drunk," until they pulled up. So they verified my sighting.
I love it. Hey, you sound like an old friend of ours, Gary Busey. You got that same twang to your voice.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, just like him. Okay.
Anyway, like I said, I lived in a haunted house. I've had more sightings. I died when I was 9. I've got lots of stories I could tell you. I just wanted to start with a funny one.
You got it. Hey, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Couple minutes to go, and then we wrap things up with UFO Phil. Go ahead. You've got 2 minutes. It's yours.
Hello.
Hi.
George.
Yes.
I'm so pleased to talk with you.
That's all. You're fine. But we've unfortunately only have a few minutes left.
Okay. I need 2 things to tell you. One, my son and I were walking home, and we saw an old police car, cruiser, go by with one of those flat top lights, and we looked inside, and there was 2 policemen. One, my son said, looked exactly like you, and the other one, we didn't know. The next night, your program aired, and you said that you had been down to the, the UFO site.
In Roswell. Said,
yeah, the police had treated you really well.
Yep.
And it just freaked us out. Secondly, I had a premonition dream. There was a young boy doing the Ouija board, and he was doing it before your show. So I really want to...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. There you go. And
okay.
Take care, and we love you so much.
Okay, I know what you're saying. It's going to be a weekend of reflection for me. The guests are coming in, but I will reflect. Okay, UFO Phil, take us home.
never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here. See the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
Well, for Kiris Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.